We all know you snooze through a few of your classes. Shane Norling has got you covered. All the college games you're watching.
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
Plus the ones you didn't know you needed to care about.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap!
Welcome to Snorlin' U.
Yes, finally celebrating a winning week. Welcome in to Snorlin' U ahead of week 7 in the college football season. We are at the midway point and we have finally found the black. I want to do a recap and I can't wait to do it because I have finally brought you winners after a full season of grinding. I told you a week ago, if you listen to Snorlin' U, I was as frustrated as I was ever going to get. I'd never had a college football season so dire. And what did I tell you we were going to do? What did I tell you I was going to do? I'm getting my money back. It's time to win. Enough with the games. I found the data points. I'm at the point in my season where I've done enough of this grind on a weekly basis. I have a feeling. I have a better feeling on a lot of these teams. I even offered you a little bit of a take on what we're seeing in college football in terms of the best ways to bet some of these. And one of those was this. I mean, frankly, if you look at the teams whose seasons have gone sideways, now it didn't work for us with Bama A&M, but it worked for us with Michigan State. Ohio State laying 27 on the road in East Lansing, no problem. 49-20 final score. Texas minus 7 against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's season over, sideways. They're dead. They got gutted in the transfer portal. Brent Venables might be a good hire, but right now, it's not the time. Texas, Quinn Ewers comes back. It's a team that feels themselves a little bit. This game means more to them right now, even though their season is over as well in terms of contending for a national title. They have the opportunity to get back in the national conversation. What do? They bludgeon Oklahoma on the big noon kickoff. Absolutely murdered them on national television. Texas, easy. Ohio State, easy. UCLA hosting Utah in a battle for what might be the Pac-12, and UCLA stood tough. What did I tell you? Once again, UCLA, best defense in the Pac-12. And that offense ain't nothing to shake your head at. They got a quarterback down there, the Bruins. UCLA money line, plus 150. Winner, Mizzou, Florida, under 55. Again, Mizzou defense, one of the best in the nation. Nobody talks about it. Florida, they don't even try to throw the ball anymore. Under 55. Bang. What else we got? Alabama minus 24. Look, sometimes it doesn't work. I'll touch on Alabama in a little bit. Michigan minus 22.5. Laid an egg. Look ahead spot. They were getting ready for Penn State early. Go to Indiana. Go to Bloomington. They weren't ready for the game. They end up pulling away late. Made it look a lot less close than it was. They got a little bit of a scare, but they survive. Don't cover the 22.5. That's fine. Nevada minus 3.5 against Colorado State in the worst game ever played. If you watched it, I feel terrible for you. We got screwed here. Colorado State wins outright as a 3.5-point dog despite scoring 0 offensive touchdowns, 17 points, 2 defensive touchdowns, and a field goal at the last second to win the game. TCU minus 6.5, whatever you got it at. It wasn't 7 when I gave it out on the pod, so I'm free. TCU walks into Lawrence, get a little blessed by Kansas losing Jalen Daniels. But at the same time, Vanilla Bean comes out. This guy throws like Peyton Manning. So made me sweat a little more than I had to. But TCU really minus 6, never in doubt. That offense is for real. They are the best team in the Big 12. And I will get to them in just a little bit. But I wanted to run through the recap because for the first time all season, I'm picking these games with confidence. And I have a loaded slate to get to for you this weekend. 9 games on the card. I'm very excited about it. So without further ado, after going through what was finally a good week, I don't have to rant. I don't have to yell at Matt Campbell. I don't have to yell. Even the losses didn't hurt me. Betting Saban and losing makes you feel dumb, but you were on the right side of history. Betting Nevada, Colorado State, I feel dumb just for betting the game. Michigan, what a surprise. They let me down when I play on them. They don't let me down when I don't. What are you going to do there? I mean, I can't get angry because I gave 5-3 out. And I feel so good after what has been one of the worst college football betting seasons of my life. I've been doing this for 10 years, guys. This is the worst season I've had by far. It's never been this bad. And finally, I came out swinging. I came out with a really good feeling last week. I didn't get scared off the process. I didn't get scared off the work. And we hit 5-3. So I'm feeling very, very good. I'm going to talk about all of the big games. This is one of the best weekends in college football ever. Undefeated Alabama against undefeated Tennessee. Undefeated TCU against undefeated Oklahoma State. Undefeated Penn State against undefeated Michigan. 5-0 Syracuse against 5-1 NC State. You got Florida LSU. We got Utah USC. We got Kansas Oklahoma. Mississippi State Kentucky. We are into the season, and I could not be more ready. So without further ado, let's get to the card. All right, 9 games to get to. I want to keep this thing timely, so I'm going to go through them as quickly as possible. I don't want to hold you over for half an hour. I want to make sure we get to these things and keep it moving. I'm going to start in the Big 12. Texas laying 16 points at home, DKR against Iowa State. Now, I know you look at this, and it's the wrong side of two touchdowns, right? You need, it's the two touchdowns, 2 2-point conversion spread. 16 points. Texas, you maybe have some questions still. I know they just came off the absolute beatdown on Oklahoma. So you look at that, think, are they a little overvalued? You look at Iowa State, what they've been able to do defensively this year, one of the best defenses in America. They make you grind for everything. You're not going to run effectively on them. They're going to make the passing lanes very, very difficult. They don't do a whole lot creatively defensively. They're going to sit back in their nickel 3-3-5. They're going to play where they play. Their zones, whether they're matched up, whether they're blitzing, whatever they do, but they are going to punch you in the mouth. And yet, I look at Texas laying 16 here after pounding Oklahoma, after what we saw from Quinn Ewers, where you see a kid who, yeah, is he a little afraid of contact? Yeah, is he a little hesitant when the pressure gets in and he's scared of getting hit? Yes, a little bit. But when you see the talent with his arm, it's eye-popping. The throws this kid can make are NFL-quality throws. He's an NFL quarterback playing college football right now. Texas is as talented as they've been since the Vince Young days. I mean, we're talking about a team where, look, quite frankly, if Quinn Ewers doesn't die in the Alabama game, they might be ranked number one in America right now. I mean, we really have to comprehend that Quinn Ewers died in the Alabama game, a game that they lost by 1 at home. And when he went out, he was shredding that secondary, shredding it. So we really have to think about Texas. And if they were as good all season as they are right now at full health, how much would this line look like? I mean, if you're talking about a 6-0 Texas team taking on Iowa State, coming off of absolutely killing Oklahoma, because Quinn Ewers was able to play, stay healthy, things went better for Texas injury-wise, this line looks a lot more like 24-27 than 16. They would be talked about in the tier of Ohio State, in the tier of Georgia, Alabama. This would be a much larger spread. In my opinion, if Texas were valued as, if Texas had had a better result in those two games against Alabama and then the loss without Quinn Ewers, because you've seen what they've looked like with Ewers. You've seen what they've looked like at full health. Steve Sarkisian's got these kids in a place, this program really, in a place where, look, I'm hesitant to say Texas is back in a year where they're 4-2. But man, like I said, Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt. Is it that unrealistic to say this team would be 6-0? Is it that unrealistic to say the bottom line on all of the hot take shows would be Texas is back? So I'm not getting too scared off of this. I don't think it's too many points. I actually think Texas might be undervalued here because of the way the schedule looks, because of some of the results, and because of the hesitancy to buy in. Maybe Oklahoma's just that bad. Maybe Oklahoma's defense in particular, because Lincoln Riley left with the caboose. I mean, you talk about leaving the cupboard bare. He left nothing in Norman. He took it all with him to Los Angeles. So I just look at this, and yes, I understand the hesitancy to bet on it, but I like the Texas side a lot here, and I'm going to bet Texas minus 16. I'll stick with the Big 12 because it just makes sense to go from Big 12 game to Big 12 game. And this is the biggest game, one of the biggest games on the entire schedule this year. TCU, Oklahoma State. TCU coming home after the game day win in Lawrence. They got scared as hell by the Jayhawks. Vanilla Bean coming in after Jalen Daniels gets hurt. He's out for the season for Kansas. TCU, a 4-point favorite against Oklahoma State right now. I think it's still a buy point. Now, if this gets out to 4.5, 5, I get a little more hesitant. But, guys, just quite frankly, has there been a person with a better read on TCU this year than me? I told you preseason, they're the best team in the Big 12. Hit them to win the Big 12. And I know it was a long shot play, but I told you straight up, you pull all the teams in the Big 12 out of a hat, they're all very good, and I think TCU is the best. Max Duggan, he's been excellent. Their offense, power run, they open up holes with their offensive line. They find ways to get downfield with their running backs, clear space in the secondary. This is a very talented team that can take advantage of any level of defense. The only question is their defense and how much can they stop Oklahoma State. But that's where I feel good about the 4, because you don't have to lay a full touchdown. And not a lot of games in this Big 12 have been landed on field goals. There haven't been a ton of really tightly contested matchups. I mean, Iowa State, Kansas, sure. But again, Iowa State throws a pick in the red zone. They miss 3 field goals with their freshman kicker. That's part of why I'm fading them against Texas. You look at the way that game probably should have played out. Iowa State wins by double digits. You haven't seen a ton of very tight contested games going into late periods in the Big 12. And when you have, they're a lot like TCU Kansas was a week ago, and it's just the last team with the ball is going to score a touchdown and win by 7. So I like TCU minus 4. All right, let's move on to the SEC, because I want to talk about Alabama and Tennessee. This is strictly a numbers play. I know I was on Alabama a week ago. I know I was dead wrong. I know people are dropping Alabama in the rankings down from number 1 to number 3. People are getting nervous because the secondary is so bad. What's going on with Bryce Young? Is it going to be Jalen Milroe, or is it going to be Bryce Young this weekend? We still aren't totally sure. Here's the issue. Betting against Nick Saban historically is among the least profitable things that you can do. And now I want to look at the money differential. I go to PFF. I take a look at the numbers that they're offering me. 68% of the money and 80% of the tickets coming in on Tennessee. What is the book running a charity? Like, I really have the question here of just purely playing the number. Planet Earth is on Tennessee. Everybody you hear talking about this game, whether it's a football person, whether it's a betting person, everybody's talking Tennessee. Malik, what's his name? The Hendon Hooker, Malik Hooker. I'm thinking of the former Ohio State secondary guy, the safety. Hendon Hooker, the quarterback of Tennessee, got this offense cooking. It's true. They're very, very difficult to stop. Alabama's secondary, it's bad relative to Alabama standards. That's also true. Like, I can't argue the football, really. Bryce Young comes in and plays. I'm a lot more confident in this pick. If we get that confirmation, Jalen Milroe's getting a lot of flack for what happened against A&M. I think it's a little bit too much, because if you remember what they did to Arkansas, that's a difficult defense to run on, the Razorback defense. Jahmyr Gibbs remains maybe the best player, the best skill player in the country. Incredible running back. The Georgia Tech transfer came into Alabama this season, ran all over Arkansas. Tennessee, you can run on. I mean, this is a Tennessee defense that, if you remember, Pitt bullied until Keaton Slovis died. I just think that we're in a position where, look, you want to take the plus seven against a Saban team. I get it. It's not a vintage Saban team. We've seen them go to Texas and take a lot of uncharacteristic penalties. We've seen them play poorly defensively. We've seen them play poorly offensively with Milroe. But I just feel like when you're going against Nick Saban, and so is Planet Earth, you are going to get kneecapped. So I'm taking Alabama minus seven because nobody else is. And if everybody's on Tennessee, why hasn't this number moved? Why haven't we gotten 6.5, 6, 5.5? It's because Bob and Tom and Timmy and whoever your local radio guy is that's pumping Tennessee down your throat, they aren't moving the number. When you see a big public number, 80% of the tickets on Tennessee, but the number's not going anywhere, dude, the smart people, the people who aren't doing this dumb thing that I'm doing, this Passion Project podcast where I just hand you picks, they're betting Alabama. I'm betting Alabama. I'm not getting on the wrong side of Nick Saban. I just can't do it, and I think this is a spot where Alabama's undervalued after the A&M game. People are looking the other way on them. You just ride the lightning, and you roll tide. Also in the SEC, Florida and LSU. Look, LSU got a nice little story. Brian Kelly came to town. You get a top 25 ranking early in your tenure. You get off to a pretty nice start. But there are questions, right? Because the team, when you watch them, looks awful. The secondary gets abused by Hendon Hooker last weekend against Tennessee. Just abused. The secondary's terrible. The defense is terrible. They don't get a ton of pressure. They don't do things especially well offensively. They're not overly talented outside of Kayshon Booty. Florida minus 2.5 here. You get inside of a field goal. Now, I know the shine has come off of Anthony Richardson. I know the shine has come off of Billy Napier. But I ask you again, has anyone had a better feeling on Florida this year than me? What did I tell you week one? Florida hosting Utah. Utah's a 2.5-point favorite. Everybody thinks they're going to go in and stomp them. New head coach, Anthony Richardson blows, yada, yada, yada. Watch out. Because they're going to the swamp. It's hotter than hell. You're going to play in front of 90,000 fans. You got to come down off the mountain. What happened? Florida won outright. The following week, everybody's on Florida. Top 10. Anthony Richardson's going in the first round. All of this stuff. What happened? I told you, Kentucky, keep the points outright. What happened? Kentucky kept the points, won outright. Florida, LSU, this is once again, you look at a team in LSU, kind of got gutted in the offseason, kind of brought back, Kayshon Booty's deleting stuff from his Instagram. He's not interested in participating. You look around the program, you wonder if Brian Kelly can really be that successful in year one. Billy Napier has got these kids in a position where they want to play. They want to play hard. So Florida minus 2.5 for me is a play. I'm going to save the Big Ten game for last. I've realized I have a Big 12 game on here that I didn't get to when I did the Big 12. So I want to do that now. Then I'll go, let's finish up the SEC and then I'll go back. Mississippi State minus 4 at Kentucky. Everybody, once again, Will Levis gets ruled in. Banged up Will Levis. Questions whether he'd play. This line opened 7. Will Levis gets ruled in. Immediately the line gets hit back to Mississippi State 4. I think it's a buy point. Mississippi State might be the third best team in the SEC. They might be the second best team in the SEC. Mississippi State's really good. And Mississippi State is gearing up for a game against Georgia in a week that may be the time Georgia's scares finally turn into Georgia's nightmares. I'm a little concerned about Georgia, and I'm not very concerned about Mississippi State. This is a Bulldog team that is immensely talented. And if you throw out the second half against LSU, where things just went totally sideways, you couldn't get anything right, they've been freaking dominant, man. Mississippi State minus 4 against Kentucky, a team that's, you know, kind of gotten hurt in places where they maybe shouldn't have because Will Levis banged up. Things haven't gone particularly right there. I kind of like just laying the 4 with the Bulldogs. I'm not a believer in this Kentucky team. And I was on them early in the season. There were a couple spots where I felt like they were profitable. Now, getting under a touchdown going against a better opponent, I just feel like this is a spot where you, again, ride the lightning, trust what's been working. Mississippi State has been working for me, so I'm trusting that, and I'm moving forward with the Bulldogs. All right, let's wrap up the Big 12. I'll hit the ACC games quick. I've got a Pac-12 game, and then the Penn State-Michigan showdown in Ann Arbor. I'll finish with that. I want to touch on Kansas and Oklahoma. This is going to be the same reasoning I bet Texas a week ago. I told you Oklahoma got gutted in the transfer portal. Brett Venables, it's a good hire. I believe Brett Venables is going to get the train on the tracks here. It's not going to happen this season. Lincoln Riley left him in the lurch, man. He did the program dirty. And I'm not saying it was the wrong move for Riley to leave the way that he did, but the fact of the matter is the way he left did this program dirty. He hung this team out to dry. He stole their quarterback. He stole seemingly half the roster, brought them all to USC, left with a caboose, gutted the program, took half the coaching staff. Brent Venables comes in. This thing's been torn down to the studs, maybe even further, and nobody wanted to talk about it. They wanted to keep Oklahoma, the brand, pumped up, kind of similar to what we see with Notre Dame a lot of seasons. Now you're telling me that because Jaden Daniels is out for the season, and yes, that ends Kansas's season. They have a gauntlet of games coming up. Baylor, Oklahoma State, Kansas State. They have an absolute gauntlet coming up against them. But right here, you're giving me 9 points. Kansas plus 9 against an Oklahoma team whose season is over, who just came off an absolute embarrassment. Fox Big or ABC kickoff, whatever it was, because Fox Big Noon is the Michigan Roadshow. Oklahoma getting pantsed by Texas. Where is the inspiration in the program going to come from? This might just be a sideways chaos lost year for the Sooners. I'm not telling you I think Kansas is winning outright, but you're giving me 9. Look, man, Vanilla Bean didn't play that bad. Vanilla Bean actually was kind of impressive. Now, I understand TCU wasn't ready to see him. Maybe that factors in a little bit. But the balls he was throwing were beautiful. Really good control over the deep ball against TCU. I have a feeling Kansas can cover this 9. I'm betting Kansas plus 9. Last games on the board. Syracuse laying 3.5 against NC State. This is 5-1 Syracuse, man. Or 5-0 Syracuse. Feeling themselves against an NC State team. What's going on with Devin Leary? Now, this was bet up to 4, came popping back down to 3.5. So somebody probably knows something about Leary's shoulder. He's going to play. How effective is he going to be? Because a year ago, he was great. This year, he's been far from a star. And I have big concerns about going on the NC State train when Devin Leary has not been what we expected him to be. He's not mobile. He's a pocket passer. He has not been accurate. And the red zone offense, you know, typically I look at red zone turnovers or red zone lack of scoring as bad coaching. Yeah, it might be part of it. I also tend to look at it as, frankly, luck. A lot of times that's going to regress. USC is a great example. USC's turnover margin this season is plus 13. It is impossible to keep that up. You simply cannot stay at that clip. If you do, congratulations, you're winning a national championship. But it's just incredibly rare that over a 13-game, 12-game season, you can keep a clip that high. NC State's red zone offense, we have enough red zone possessions and enough examples of them vomiting on themselves that I think we can just say they blow in the red zone. Whether it's because Leary can't get the ball where it needs to go, whether it's because they aren't getting the push up front to run effectively when they get down in the red zone, whether it's because the coach just turns into a fetus and becomes ridiculously conservative. Can you tell that I lost on NC State recently? Can you tell? Syracuse, you don't go to the inflated condom and just win. Syracuse will make things tough on you. And guess what? Sellout crowd at the Dome. 45,000 tickets went like that. Hotcakes. The Q's faithful. The Orange, they're all about it. This is not an easy environment for NC State to walk into. It's not. Give me Syracuse, lay the 3.5. All right, Utah versus USC. It's, again, strictly a numbers play. You're telling me an undefeated brand name in the top 10 like USC is going to Salt Lake to take on a Utah team with two losses that really has had their season taken from them. They still have a chance at winning the Pac-12 because they're in the North. If they were in the South, they'd be dead. They have a chance being in the North at winning the Pac-12. So the season's not totally over. But you're telling me a two-loss Utah team is a 3.5-point favorite against a top 10 USC, undefeated, one of the biggest brands in college football? Yeah, once again, you ride the Lightning and you bet Utah. There's no reason that the line should be the way it is. The other side of a field goal with USC undefeated, with all of the hype in the world, the Lincoln Riley, the Jordan Addison, the Caleb Williams, and they're a 3.5-point dog, wrong side of a field goal? The books are begging you to bet USC. Here, I got you a dollar. And guess what? It's a dollar on the end of a fishing rod. You go, you think it's free in the street, and somebody just reels you in. They just reel you in. They are begging you to bet USC. You don't have to bet this game. You don't want to. Free country. But if you do, you can only bet Utah. Utah minus 3.5. It's one of my favorite plays of the week. All right. The final game, the undefeated showdown in the Big Ten. Penn State going to Michigan, needing to exercise demons. James Franklin, 0-9 straight up against top five opponents. He's been horrible in these spots. In Ann Arbor, he's getting outscored some against a top five Michigan team on the road. James Franklin's getting outscored somewhere in the range of 80-17. Maybe 93-17 is the actual number. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. I try to do this live and get it out. Penn State plus 7, though, I think is still the play. And this is a lot of football reasoning here. Michigan, outside of playing a deadbeat Iowa squad that can't score in a morgue, outside of playing high school teams, the 97th ranked schedule in the country out of 130 teams, 97th. They played junior varsity teams. They played Hawaii, one of the 10 worst teams in America. They played Colorado State, one of the 10 worst teams in America that until last weekend had the longest losing streak in college football. And they played UConn, one of the worst teams in America. And then they played Maryland, got severely tested, despite that being in Ann Arbor. They go to Kinnick, blast a deadbeat Iowa squad that, again, cannot score in a whorehouse. And then they go to Bloomington, and again, by an Indiana team that they probably overlooked, but also sucks, they got tested. We have not seen J.J. McCarthy in a big spot where, look, kid, you're the starter. And you're going to go up against the undefeated top 10 opponent. Now, the last time we saw this happen for Michigan, it was in East Lansing a year ago, and they blew a 16-point lead because they kept fucking around with J.J. McCarthy, and he kept fumbling the ball at the mesh point and handing it back over. So, to me, until J.J. McCarthy goes out and shows me that he can beat a team like Penn State, that's going to play you tough defensively, that finally has a running back again in Nick Singleton, a kid that looks like Saquon Barkley resurrected. Look, I know I've told you I don't think much of the quarterback. I don't think much of the passing game. I don't think much of the head coach. But you know who else I don't think much of? Jim Harbaugh. And he almost screwed his own team out of a game in Indiana. If Indiana had a pulse on offense, Michigan loses. Just a fact. This Michigan offense has not been impressive when it's gone against teams with a pulse. It took them forever to hit 20 points in Iowa. Now, I'm not telling you Penn State's defense is anything like Iowa's, but it's not that far off. You're finally going up against a real opponent. You need to prove to me that you should be favored by a touchdown. So Penn State plus 7. As always, thank you very much for listening. I love you guys. I'm happy to be on the right side of history finally. Snorling you every Thursday. I'm bringing you this. 9 plays this week. It's the biggest card I've offered yet. It's the biggest weekend in college football. I tried to hit on the biggest games you could find. So I hope that this is satisfactory to you, and I hope you enjoy it. And as always, the Cap and Jay Hood Show, Monday to Friday, 7 to 10 a.m. every day. Tune in. Love you guys.